All right. So as he said, Andy Smith, my better half is Karina or Kiki. And we're just going to share with you a little bit. We're going to start with our trip to Uganda. We went got to go back and visit Uganda, Africa in January for 17 days. And I just want to share just a little bit about that as we share this message this morning. You can see this is the country of Uganda, as he said, about the size of the state of Oregon. And you see the blacks. And you can see up in the upper left corner, Africa, and where Uganda is darkened in. And then in the major map, you can see where Jinja is circled. That's the source of the Nile River, which, you know, Moses was put in the Nile River down at the other end. But it's the beginning of the river. And we worked, you see the islands in Lake Victoria? We worked in about 52 of those islands. And that was our ministry there when we were there in Africa and where we went back to. Also, it's where the team from CCC went last summer and ministered together with us. It's an awesome time. Go to the next one. And within those islands, you can see Lingira Island and the Buvuma Island chain there. That's where we stayed in Africa. And just a tremendous opportunity there in the islands. You see, yeah, go ahead. It's all right. So Choya Village is the village nearest to where our home was. And that's where we lived the ministry. You see the mud huts there with the grass-thatched roofs. And some of them have little tin roofs. Our house was a mud brick house, and it had a tin roof. It was kind of nice. Anyway, we were there this winter for 17 days. You know, whenever you go on a mission trip for Jesus or do anything to try and serve Jesus, the devil doesn't just lay back and let you do it, right? So we found that out early when we went to get on the airplane, and I'd never flown Turkish Airlines before, all the trips I've went. Well, whatever reason, in Seattle, we are there with all of our boxes to take gifts to our people in Uganda, and they said, well, we can't take plastic boxes anymore. And I'm like, well, I've been doing this for however many years, over a decade, and we've always taken them. It's never been a problem. Sorry, we can't take them anymore. It's like, okay, what do you want me to do? Because I have like, I don't remember how many they were, like six boxes here, and I'm not from here. And so I'm not in Seattle. This isn't my home. Anyway, it was a challenge. But thankfully, eventually, they allowed us to wrap them in cellophane, and then they would take them that time. But if you fly Turkish Airlines, they don't take plastic boxes. So I thought, Lord, this is quite a beginning of the trip. You know, I thought all the luggages were not going to come, and even the stuff we're going to plan to do while we're there was not going to come. It's like, okay, Lord, this will be challenging. Well, anyway, they got on the plane with us. Sadly, they didn't get off the plane with us. So it took about 4 days for our luggage to catch up with us after we reached Uganda. We are experienced travelers, so we had extra underwear, socks, and a shirt in our carry-on. So,
and toothbrushes.
She had a toothbrush. Maybe I can't remember, maybe I did too. But anyway, so, you know, we survived. It wasn't the end of the world. The devil was throwing weird curveballs at us, but it's like, oh, okay, this is normal. And then we went to leave, and our flight got canceled. So this is normal life, but I thank God that that we found a place to stay for the night that was safe, and we got out the next day, and there was no permanent damage done, so... God is good. Anyway, no major problems.
So this is the first... Oh, is that on?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay. This is the first time that Andy and I had ever gone, just the two of us. Rather unique. Thank you all for praying for us and praying for the boys that were left behind. We went with two main objectives. First and foremost was just to encourage the believers on the ground, especially those who are ministering to others. So we had, of course, gifts and... had a chance to share with the missionaries in the Jinja area. And then at the end of our trip, one of the fun part, we got to take about 40 of our Ugandan co-workers with us to the zoo and to the airport. So one of our school nurse told us before we went, she said, she was so excited, all of them were so excited. She said, these eyes of mine have never seen any animal except what we rear on our farms. And these eyes of mine have never seen an aeroplane. So they were thrilled. They, 6 o'clock in the morning, some of them traveled an hour to get there, and they were dressed up in their Easter best, sitting on that bus that we all crowded into for the five-hour trip to the zoo. It was fun. But the second objective is something that they asked us specifically to teach them about parenting. The gospel has come to the islands. It came to Uganda after Idi Amin and all of that. It you know, there was a big revival of the gospel, but to the islands was a bit later, about 50 years ago. And then after the gospel and discipleship, there's been a whole emphasis the last 10 years on marriages, on taking, maybe it's a woman you've been staying with for the last 20 years, but taking her and saying before people, this is my wife, and I'm going to stay with her and be faithful to her. Or, you know, starting that way, that's the thrilling part, is we're seeing young people coming up and starting with a marriage in front of people and saying, I'm going to remain faithful to this one and before God. And now the children have come. Well, everyone almost is a first-generation Christian. They grew up in Muslim families. Some of them are one of 40 kids, one of 50 kids. Many have never met their father. Now they're saying, we've got the children. What do we do with them? So it was such a really special time. We went through Chip Ingram's Effective Parenting in a Defective World. And actually for our time that we were there, we were supposed to be just the English speakers so they could understand and we could talk with them. Everything we've done throughout our time in Uganda is done with the idea of being reproducible. So if we can teach the leaders, then for them to be able to take it and teach those under them, to contextualize it and teach it to a group, whether it's completely uneducated or whether they're teaching in a university setting. So they were like sponges. It was really neat. Not just seeing the class, but breaking up into small groups. And we'd have to, after an hour or so, we'd have to break up the small groups so we could go back into another session. And then after that week, on Sunday, they asked Andy and I to share with the local church, as the pastor was in our class with us and will continue teaching in the church body. So we had a chance to share with the local church to gather them together and share how children need significance and security. How success as a parent is not defined by their happiness today, but is defined by, are we teaching them to hear and to obey our voice so that they will hear and obey the voice of God? And as we ended that service, Andy had each of the families gather together and bring the children in and pray over their own children. It was a beautiful, it was a really beautiful thing. Oh, the video is not working, so you will not get to see that. But it was just so precious to see these parents, many of them single moms, putting their hands on their children, praying God's blessing, praying for their futures.
Amen. One of the most precious times for me, or moments for me, that came as a surprise, is when I visited a new Christian grade school on another island, in another village, and I met Wilson, this young man, who has started this Christian school. He has about 200 students, and I met him and talked with him for a little bit, and then he says this. He smiles, and he says, you may not remember me, but in 2013, you prayed with me to receive Jesus. It blew my mind and just was so precious. As I was like, man, you're right, I don't remember, but praise the Lord. And he said, yeah, I was at a church service. I was there as a student in your Christian high school, and I came forward in the church service, and you prayed with me. And it was so special to me as I realized you and I, we don't know. Rob was talking about the seeds we sow in people's lives. You'd simply never know when you invest in another person what God will do with it. And now this young man, 10 years later, is running a Christian school for over 200 students. So I just thank God for those kinds of things. When we just pour into people's lives, you never know what that investment will do. Pastor David has been investing in us over the last several months from the book of Hebrews. And if we've learned one thing from the book of Hebrews, we have learned that Jesus is...
better.
Better. He is better. He's better than everything. Jesus is better than the angels, right? Jesus is better than the high priest. Jesus is better than Melchizedek of old. Jesus is better than everything and anything else that we could ever imagine. Amen. But is he? I think we know it up here. But do we really know it here? I worry sometimes that some of us will miss heaven by about 16 inches. this morning, what's on our hearts is to help us together to be sure that all that we've been learning about Jesus doesn't just stay up here, but we make sure it moves down to here. And we're going to do that by sharing some stories about our friends in Uganda. Friends that the team here from CCC went and ministered to and with last summer. And hopefully, as we hear stories of their life, the things they've sacrificed, the things they've gone through, it will motivate us and remind us of the deep love that we can have for our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to begin with my friend, Pastor Francis Waboka. And his story of his life reminds me that Jesus is better than money. Jesus is better than money. When Pastor Francis first came to the island, he was just a poor, uneducated fisherman. And that picture on the left was him shortly after, not long after he had arrived, as he was teaching himself to read the Luganda language so he could read his Bible. Because God called him to be a pastor, not just a fisherman at that time. And on the right, it's him several years later as God transformed his life through his word. Pastor Francis, I could tell many stories. I could spend the whole rest of the day telling you just stories of this one pastor, this one man. But the one story I want to talk about this morning, he joined quite a few years ago a microfinance group in their village that was led by the village chairman. And one day, as he was in that microfinance group, they got a great blessing. The district government offices made a donation to their microfinance group of a bunch of farming supplies, hoes, shovels, seeds, some things like this. And the group requested Pastor Francis to go pick them from the district offices and bring them to the island. And so he did. When he got back, the first person that quickly came and met him was the village chairman. "Now, Francis, this is what we're going to do. You're going to tell the people in our group that they didn't give these freely. They gave them at a discounted price. And so we're going to sell them to the rest of the group, and we're going to make a profit. And you and I, we can split it." Great idea. So, but Francis says, no, not having it. "I'm a Christian. I'm following Jesus. I have to walk with integrity. I need to do what's right in the eyes of God. I'm not doing that." And he gave them all to them freely. The chairman was so ticked and could not believe he was passing up this chance to make money. And you know what's funny? When the villagers heard about it too, they also were shocked and derided the pastor and said, "What's wrong with you, stupid guy? This is why you're poor. This is why you'll always be poor. You're too stupid to recognize an opportunity when it drops in your lap. I mean, God probably gave you this chance." But he said, no, I have to do what's right. But he had the last laugh because about a year later, they had village elections. And the people in the village voted out the village chairman, and they voted Pastor Francis as their new village chairman. Mm-hmm. And they said, "You're the only one we can trust with money." Praise the Lord. What a testimony. We've been in Hebrews, right? Hebrews 13:5 says, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." Jesus is better than money. But do you love him more?
Jesus is better than security. The first people that I met in 2002 when I went to the islands was Papa and Mama O, an elegant older couple. And they looked completely out of place on the islands. They were, actually. They're from a different village, different tribes in eastern Uganda. He was a school teacher, she was an RN. But they had given that up when the Lord called them to go minister to the destitute people out on the islands. Their friends, their family said, "What are you doing? You have 5 children. You're throwing your children's education away. Your kids will not have a future. They'll end up like those islanders. They'll probably be drunkards and pregnant, just like everybody on the islands. They'll have HIV. You're destroying your family. And yet that's where God had called them. Today, their children, every one of them, has graduated university debt-free and is most of all loving and serving the Lord in their places. One is an airplane mechanic here in the U.S. Another is in Australia. A third one is serving rural pastors, building churches for them. Their two daughters are working with social work and children's education, Christian children's education. This is one of their daughters and grandchildren, granddaughters here. Papa and Mama O, precious couple. A couple years ago, after their own children had left home, their home was again filled with other village children, and the food ran out. And that night, Papa O gathered the children together and said, "Kids, we are going to thank the Lord. We don't have anything to eat, but we are going to praise God." And he led a prayer meeting, not just a prayer meeting for stuff, but a praise meeting, thanking and praising God because Jesus is better even than the food that you need in your stomach. And they went to bed hungry. But the next morning, they received a phone call, and God had provided a month's worth of groceries for their family. Matthew 19:21 says, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give it to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Jesus is better than security. He is the security. But do you love him more?
One of my best friends in Uganda is Robert Wafula. I just look at him and I smile. Again, I could talk all day about my friend Robert. But I want to tell you a bit of the background of Robert. You see, when he was in high school, or when he was a teenager, rather, he had an opportunity that does not come to African children very often. He had a sponsor who was willing to bring him to Canada for his high school. What an incredible chance to get top-quality education and wealth, a doorway to wealth, a pathway to wealth for him and his entire family, and the whole village could benefit from one person going outside and having that kind of education and earning that kind of money that would then be available to him. But the fascinating thing was, as teenage Robert prayed about what God wanted him to do for high school, he felt like God told him no. And for whatever reason, he didn't know at the time, God wanted him to stay in Uganda. And by making that choice, he didn't know if he would even be able to go to high school, because in Africa, high school is not free. You have to pay for it, like our colleges here. But Robert felt like God was telling him clearly not to go. His family and the villagers could not believe it. What is wrong with this kid? He's throwing away the chance of a lifetime. This is incredible. All of them were like, if only God would have given me this chance. Why did God waste it on a stupid boy who can't even see what's good for him? But to Robert, Jesus was more important than education. Jesus was better than education, even. So he followed Jesus. He obeyed the word that he felt like God was giving him, and he did not go. God had mercy on the poor boy, and he did end up going to high school in Uganda, locally. After high school, he became the first student that we know of to actually go away from the island and get a college degree. God blessed him. God provided for him. It was not easy. There were many times he went hungry, but he did it. And he finished college degree there in Uganda. And later, even a master's degree. After he finished college, he worked together with Karina and the local pastor to start Shepherd's Heart International Ministry that we ministered in all those years. And he also started Lingira Living Hope Christian High School. As a result, over 1,000 young people have had the chance to also go to high school from the islands. And many have followed his footsteps on to college and beyond. Today, so many people from builders, engineers, nurses, even doctors and surgeons call Robert Papa because he's the one who opened the door for them to continue education and to walk with Jesus and to have their lives transformed through that Christian high school. For Robert, Jesus was better than education. But do you love him more?
How about your health? Aren't there dangers out there? Well, just ask Lacey. Lacey, that was a great introduction today. Even as you were talking, I thought, oh, this is perfect. A lot of people ask me, you know, if I give myself completely to Jesus, is he going to, can I trust that? Could it be dangerous? What if my health was ruined? It could be. What if I lose my life? You could. Lacey just came back from Cambodia with who knows what bugs crawling in and out of her. And you know what? She's already planning to go back long term. Is it worth it? Just a couple weeks ago, I had some tests, and doctors are linking some neurologic issues I have to the time I spent in Russia in 92, 93. The tech asked me, as we went through these tests, he said, knowing what you do now, would you have done it again? Was it worth it? I answered, absolutely. But I really wished I would have told him why. It's because Jesus is better. Imagine handing a Bible to a 75-year-old woman who picks it up and weeps and says, oh, my grandmother had one of these, but the KGB took it away, and I've always wished I could touch another one. I have my own now. Or imagine the 14-year-old girl raised in an atheist society sitting with her atheist friends who are pondering the thought that you've just told them about a God, and this little girl speaks up and she says, oh, I know there is a God. Masha, how do you know? When I was 9 years old, he spoke to me, and I got down on my knees and I prayed to that God. Yeah. But can it cost you your health? Yes. It could. When I went to Russia, during the time I was there, there was a coup and all the political unrest, and people went to my mom and said, do you see the Geiger counters? The radiation is high. Do you see? And
how old were you then?
I was 17. What if your daughter never comes home? And mom just said, God said that she should go. He did not tell us that she would come home. And actually, that faith of a mom has been a huge assurance to me. I just want to encourage you, parents, don't hold back when God is calling your kids. But that's been a huge assurance to me through many different times of being in hospital beds here and overseas, to know when God calls us to lay down our life, sometimes it's now, and sometimes it's over a progressive time. But is he worth it? Well, let's think about Paul. 2 Corinthians 11, what's he say? 24 through 27, he gives us a whole list. 5 times I was beaten with the 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I was shipwrecked 3 times. A night and day I spent floating in the sea. I was in many journeys, in danger from river, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil, hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger, thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure. Jesus is better, even than your good health. But do you love him more?
I was with Karina in Russia. In fact, that's where we met. So you can kind of draw some lines there and think about more about what God does and these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But I will never forget in my whole, as long as I live, I'll never forget seeing that old woman. She's about that tall, all bent over, kissing that Bible, weeping. Спасибо, спасибо, спасибо большое, спасибо. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. It just, to realize that God could use even you at age 17 to share the word of life with someone else. Powerful. Powerful. Jesus is not only better than your good health. Jesus is even better than your addictions and things that draw you in that are not good. This is Teacher Bianga. We called him Professor. The picture on the left is him when he had just arrived on the island, and then the picture on the right was a few years later. Teacher Bianga was a very successful and well-respected English and literature teacher in Uganda and Kenya. But Bianga had a problem. He was an alcoholic, and he struggled mightily with it. Several times, his depression over his problem, his addiction, drove him to attempt suicide. And the third time, I think it was, he was lying in the hospital in a bed with alcohol poisoning, almost dead. And a Ugandan, this was in Kenya, and a Ugandan pastor came and found him there in the hospital and prayed with him and said, Bianga, don't you think it's about time for you to stop running and give your life to Jesus? And he did, and he prayed, and he invited Jesus to be boss of his life from here on out. That pastor was wise. He knew that it would be very difficult for Bianga to continue standing strong in his new faith if he stayed where he was with his old friends and all the bars. So he actually took him with him back to Uganda. And then he called us on the island and asked us, hey, I know you just started a new school there. Do you happen to need an English teacher? Because I've got a really good one here. He's very qualified. And we said, yes, we actually do really need an English teacher. And so he sent him out there to an island where there's none of his buddies and there aren't any bars. Now, there's alcohol, but there's no bars there. I mean, it's an island. It's a village. So a much safer place for him to be. And so he came, and he seriously sought the Lord. He made a clean break, and he tried very hard. I know it wasn't easy for him, but he really walked with Jesus, and Jesus helped him overcome his addictions. And you can see the change in his life from the left picture to the right, from when he had first arrived and he was still struggling with his demons, and you can see it in his face. Some of you know what that looks like. You know what it feels like. And then on the right is after a few years of walking with Jesus, the life of Christ overcoming his addictions. You can't make that man doubt that Jesus is better. Amen? Because he lived with Christ, and Jesus transformed his life. He invested and discipled his high school students and told them how Jesus was better than alcohol. Jesus is better than women. Jesus is better than everything. And he could share that with them from his life experience. The students began to call him Bianga because he seemed to get younger every year as he walked with Jesus. He had sown many bad seeds in his life, but he began to sow a lot of really great seeds. And one of the best things, that, as it turns out, that he did was he invited his nephew, Justice Aranitwe, to come and live with him on the island. Justice was a young single man who was a grade school teacher. But as Justice was there teaching grade school, Bianga led him to the Lord. And so as he became a Christian, he began to also grow. Justice began to grow in the Lord. And as he sought the Lord, about a year later, he and Bianga came to us in our little mud brick house, and they said, we want to talk to you. My son here, he wants to be a pastor, but he doesn't know how. What can he do? At that time, we hadn't started our pastor training school on the island yet, and so I had a friend who had a missionary who had a pastor's training school, a Bible college on mainland, and so we sent him there, and then on his during his vacations from Bible school, he would work on the compound, and we would pay him enough to pay for his school. That's how
where
we did
Tim
that.
Steiner just went, actually.
Yeah, actually, Tim. Well, Tim's been there, not this time, I think, but Tim has been many times to the Global Theological Seminary. In fact, Tim is most of their library, if I remember right. Tim, you, I don't know where you are, Tim, but Tim, I know, has taken a lot of books to that library, and this young man has read those and has been blessed by that. So full circle, right? God does amazing things. But Justice learned there, and then while he was there in that college for a couple of years, we started a Bible school on the island, and when he was on vacation, he would come and he would translate for me as we were teaching in the Bible college. And then when he graduated, he helped us teach. And then now, as the team was there last time, they saw that Justice is now running all the pastor training schools in the islands for Shepherd's Heart Ministry. And the incredible kingdom influence that is now happening because Bianca trusted Jesus as his Savior and lived with the reality that Jesus is better. So I ask you this morning, is Jesus better even than your addictions, whatever they may be? And do you love him more? Do you love him more? Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap, whether bad or good."
Jesus is better even than having somebody that can tell you how special you are, or tell you they love you, or hold your hand. He is better than the self-pity from not having those things. I love the island women. I love my island sisters, I would say it that way. They have a hard life. You can imagine getting up in the morning surrounded by all your kids on the dirt floor in one room. You go down and you get the water out of the lake. You gather firewood, make the fire, boil the water, get some tea, get the kids to school, go to the garden, chase monkeys. All day long, you go through the day, but without a word of appreciation. A slap here or there, an abuse, a yelling, being ignored. Island women, on general, make about $1 a day with their hard work. That's enough to give them and their family something to eat. Maybe it's boiled cassava root, maybe a little bit of beans, maybe an illegal fish or two to get some protein. Their life is hard, but you walk up to one of those ladies who has given her life to Jesus, and you just say, "Praise God," and watch as their faces transform and the light and the joy come into their house. You go into church service on Sunday morning, and you see them up there singing and rejoicing. That is not put on. That is what they truly believe, even if they haven't eaten since yesterday. Catherine is one of those women. This time she was visiting, we were sitting in my house taking tea, and I'm asking how she's doing, and she says, "My husband tried to kill me last week, but I thank Jesus. He was with me," and she goes and tells the story. So we talk about logistics, you know, being in a different hut in the village for a time, what to eat for a while, what to do with the children. And then we get down on our knees and start to pray. And there were tears, of course, but her prayer was, "Lord, I am ukama. Wayabalin yomalokozibange. Oh, God, yeah. Thank you for salvation. Oh, Lord, thank you for rescuing my life from hell. Lord, thank you for giving me your peace. Thank you, God, that you have promised you are always with us." And she went through this time on her knees, just praising and thanking the Lord. This is the next Sunday. And here she is with her children in church. This is just after the time of praying over them. And she's triumphant. You can see. We came back, and after we got back here, we got a phone call that the military police had come, raided the village, and she was one that they had taken. They found two illegal fish in her house that she was probably cooking for supper for the kids. Pulled her out and beat her publicly and took her off the island to some prison somewhere. So the church got together some money, other people just like her, also poor, and paid the fine and brought her home. But what I can guarantee you is that Catherine, or Mama Miracle, as she's called, was back in church that next Sunday, thanking and praising the Lord, because Jesus and that walk, that life in Him, is better even than having a human person by your side that can tell you how good you are. He is better than holding on to bitterness or self-pity for not getting that affirmation. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up among you defiles many." Jesus is better. But do you love Him more?
This is a fantastic young couple, Emily and Nencha. Nick is grinning at me because Nick and Kaya spent some time in their mud hut when they were there last summer. Pretty special. Emily came from a very, very strict Muslim family. Everyone in his family that I'm aware of are Muslims. A few years ago, our Shepherd's Heart base manager, Richard Kasanka, hired Emily's wife, Nancha, to come and help around the base, washing dishes, sweeping, mopping, just doing some odds and ends of work. They needed money, and they're a nice family, even though Muslims. So they brought her, and she was doing the work, and while doing so, after a couple of months, Richard and his wife, Prosy, led Nancha to the Lord. And she got saved. That caused problems. That caused big problems. Emily was furious, threatened to throw her out. His family were outraged. They demanded he throw away this woman and get another one. They couldn't have a Christian in their family. They were Muslims. And it was a struggle. And for some months, it was unclear whether he would kick her out or not. They had a baby by then, though, the oldest one. And he did love his wife, but it was hard. It was a very hard thing. But God intervened, thankfully. And let me just say, God intervened and made him sick. I don't know if God made him sick, but he got very, very sick. And his family took Emily to the medical doctors. They took him to witch doctors, everything, and nothing worked. I think it was the witch doctors who told him he's going to die. And he came home, and he knew that he was going to die, and he was very ill. And in desperation, Emily went to this pastor that he knew who could pray to some other god. And so the one who led his wife to the Lord, he went to Richard Kasanka and his wife Prosy and said, "Richard, I'm dying, I'm sick, would you pray for me?" And Richard looked him right in the eye and he said, "Yes, I will pray for you. And Jesus will heal you. And when he does, you come back and get saved." That's putting the pressure on the Lord. So he did. And Jesus heard Richard's prayer. And within a few days, Emily was well on his way to recovery, full recovery. And he got better. And he went back. He got down on his knees and he prayed and he gave his life to Christ. Praise the Lord. This also caused problems in his family. They were outraged again, even worse. "You've left us. You've left our family. You've left our gods." It was horrible. They began to persecute him in every way they could, and terribly so. They killed all of his goats. They poisoned them. They did everything to fail him and drive him out of Christianity, I guess. But it didn't work. Emily stayed strong. He stayed faithful to the Lord. He knew that Jesus was better. Jesus was better even than his family religion. Jesus was better even than his family religion. And he clung to that Jesus, the one who had given him new life, literally, physically. And then he began to experience, in spite of the persecution, the inward joy, the inward peace that comes from a right relationship with our Maker. And it began to mean a lot to him personally. And Nick and Kai, I mean, you guys remember, you remember the way he is, the way he just loves Jesus passionately, the way that he's just like, it's not even a question to him, it's not even a thought to go back to Islam, because he knows the reality and the joy of walking every day with the one who created and loves me and died for me. There's nothing better. Emily is now a deacon in the church. He plays the keyboard. I don't know how, but he plays the keyboard for the little local church. He's written some worship songs to Jesus that he sings in one of the most off-key voices I've ever heard. And he worships the King. He worships Jesus. He loves him deeply. Emily knows that Jesus is better than his family religion, and he knows that he loves him more. Do you? Yeah. Oh, here's a scripture. Sorry. I got so excited this story, I forgot the scripture. Matthew 10, 37 through 39. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me daily is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I think Emily really found that truth. He's really living a joyful life with Christ.
It's been such a privilege for us and our family this last year to have my nieces and nephews come up. Thank you all of you who have really encouraged them, met them, gotten to know them, prayed for them. And as they've come up, we've talked about life, family, future.
Girls, you can go and come up.
What are we all doing as we look forward to the next parts of our life? And most of all, it's been so fun to hear them talk about what God has done in them and their life through this last difficult year. But as we look out into the group of you all today, we also realize, just as we have among us, you here, we have so many young people. So many young people, you're looking at future. You're looking at life. You're looking at your dreams and your desires and your talents and your goals. But if you take those and you take Jesus in the other hand, who would you choose? What will you choose? You're making your choice. But that choice isn't just for our young people. What of you parents? When your kids look at you, what choice do they see that you are making? Are you showing them that Jesus is truly better? Grandparents, you've looked forward to retirement all your life. You know, all your working time, you've gotten to that place where you deserve for the rest of us to let you rest, and absolutely you deserve it. But in all that you are looking forward to, in all that you want, what is it that characterizes you? What is your conversation about? Is it about your health or whether or not you're appreciated? Or what security, what's in the bank? When you weigh all of these things that you have or you may not have had in your life, and then you look at Jesus, what is truly better to you? Who would you choose? For me, I'd rather have Jesus. We encourage you all just to sing along with us the words of this song, I'd rather have Jesus.
I'd rather have
Amen. I hope that's the prayer of each of our hearts today, that we'd rather have Jesus, that he is better, not only here, but we know it here, and that we love him more. Thanks for praying for and supporting and sending out people from this church on missions around the world where they can be challenged and stretched and experience this kind of love and devotion and sacrifice that we shared about today. What about you this morning? What's God asking you to do or to be? It's not always about doing. Sometimes it's just about being. What's he asking of you? Where is he asking to go? Will you do it? Do you love him more than the sacrifice of what it's going to take? Is the cost worth the reward? Is Jesus really better? As we go into communion now, folks who are doing that, come on forward, please. As we go into communion, meditate on that. Meditate on how wonderful our Jesus is. And ask yourself, am I willing to go where he says to go, to do what he says to do, to be who he wants me to be? Is Jesus better? He paid the ultimate price. And as we take communion, we're recognizing and remembering the price that he paid for our salvation, for our forgiveness. Jesus says, as often as we do this, to do it in remembrance of him and the price that he paid. The Bible says that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, take and eat this. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the supper, he took a cup and he said, take and drink from this, all of you. For this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I don't know where you're at today. Maybe some of you have never given your life to Jesus, like many of the people I talked about today who didn't know Christ until a moment came. Like Wilson, the boy who started now this Christian school. Who knows where you'll be in 10, 20 years, but today might be the beginning point for you. If that's you, during this time, there's some guys, Rob's here, his wife here to pray with you. Come on forward and talk to them. Talking about Jesus, they would love to pray with you and introduce you to Jesus, to make a covenant with him. If you have any other business you want to do with God, you can join them, pray. They would love to pray with you. Talk to me, talk to any of their elders or leaders here in the church. We would love to do so. But as we come forward for communion, let's do so with the heart commitment that Jesus is better. We go today, God, keep these scriptures and stories before our hearts and minds. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Father, to each day, Lord, to wake up in the morning and go to bed at night with the same thought. Jesus, you're better. You're better. Lord, I love you. I love you more. I love you more than anything and everything else, all the things that pull on me. Lord, I love you more. And Lord, I pray that some of the people here today, some of us, God, that you would be speaking to do something extra, something different, something surprising. Lord, you would ask us to do something that maybe we're not expecting, maybe short-term, maybe long-term. And maybe it'll take sacrifice. But to lay our life down and say, it's worth it. It's worth it. Because Jesus, you're better. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.